It is good to see everybody today. As we wrap up our series on Light Has Come. And we had a great Christmas Eve service. If you weren't here, that's okay. But if you were, it was just God spoke through Gail was just really powerful. And so we're going to touch on that a little bit today, and we're going to kind of go forward with that today. And so quick show of hands, how many people traveled over the holidays this year? How many people traveled? Quick show of hands. Okay, nobody. One person traveled. Good job. All right, man. Way to go. So I guess it probably goes without asking the next question. How many people are here because they've been traveling? Same person? All right, way to go. All right, that's it. That's all I got. I remember when I was a kid traveling, we traveled a little bit around Christmas time. I have an aunt and uncle over in Three Rivers, and every once in a while we'd travel over there. But we traveled other times of the year, and I just remember traveling, whether it was around the holiday time or just whenever throughout the year. I remember that time and how Mom would pack up the car. So I want you to think back maybe when you were kids and maybe you traveled, whether it be during the holidays or whatever. And I remember Mom packing up the car using her Mom super packing powers. And I sometimes think that she was a person who defected from Russia as a Tetris world champion, because the way that she would pack the car and fit so much into the car, it truly defied the law of physics. And so we would travel, and Mom would pack the car, and it was weird because you'd be a kid, and you'd walk up, and you'd see the back of the car, and you'd be like, holy cow, I didn't know our car could hold so much stuff. Hey, Mom, I need this. And she'd be like, don't touch. Don't you touch a thing. I will get it for you. Has anybody ever been there before? Don't touch a thing. I will get it for you. And she would do her little, I wish I had the Tetris music sound effects, but she would do all of her little stuff, getting that thing out, and she'd be like, here you go. And you just kind of like, I don't even want it anymore. Everything I just watched you do with your super packing Tetris powers was just, it was more than I needed. But as we packed up the car and we headed off to grandma's or aunts and uncles or whoever's, it seemed like it didn't matter if the drive was 10 minutes or 10 hours. It seemed like when you were a kid, it was an eternity. Who can remember that? It feeling like an eternity when you were traveling, yes. And you would drive Mom and Dad crazy with that one question. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? So we're finishing up our series this week about Light Has Come. And it's oftentimes interesting how we build up to Christmas Eve or we build up to Christmas Day and we talk about the coming of Christ and the birth of Christ and all that goes along with it. And we reach that climax on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day of light has come, Christ has come, Jesus has come. And that is the climax. Don't get me wrong, that is the climax. But then it seems like that's it. And we never talk too in-depth about what happened after. Like, so Christ has come, but what happened after? So today what I'd like to do is, as I chat with you guys, is kind of talk about how God wants us to have more than just a nice Christmas. He wants us each to be on this journey from where we are to where he wants us to go, which is oftentimes a place that we would never go on our own. And so we're going to talk about this through the eyes of the wise men. So today's talk is going to be out of Matthew 2. So if you want to grab your Bibles and open up to Matthew 2, maybe you have your own, maybe there's one in the pew in front of you, maybe you have your electronic Bible, doesn't matter to me, but we're in Matthew 2. And I think that the best part of this whole Christmas story speaks to this ongoing adventure that the wise men had. Now, there's all kinds of myths and misconceptions and stories out there about the wise men, and we've all kind of been taught that there were, how many? Three. And they rode camels. And they were royalty. They were kings. I mean, after all, we learned from that song, We Three Kings, right? So if the song says so, it must be true, correct? I mean, think about all the things in your life that you've learned from songs that have to be true, like The Twist or whatever you name the song. I don't know any good songs that might teach us lessons, but if we learn it from a song, it's got to be true. Well, here's the thing. Perhaps there was three wise men, but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says in Matthew 2:1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi came from the east. So it doesn't say kings, and it doesn't say three. It simply says magi. But that sounds impressive, doesn't it? Magi. Biblical scholars tell us that magi were astronomers or astrologers, and they were the elite educated people of the time. And when it says that they came from the east, that probably meant that they came from Babylonia or from Persia. So as we look at these magi's adventure to come visit Christ after he had born, we know it was probably a hard adventure and that they probably had times where they wanted to turn back. Because they traveled such a long, long way to see Christ. I mean, after all, it says they came from the east, and so we're assuming that meant from Babylonia or from Persia. So that was a long journey. And there was actually this pretty famous poem about this journey coming from T.S. Eliot. And Eliot paints this picture of how he imagined their journey might be. So I'm going to read that poem to you. Again, it's his interpretation of what their journey might be like. He calls it the Journey of the Magi. A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of the year. For a journey, and such a long journey, the ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter, and the camels galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow, there were times we regretted. The summer palaces on the slopes, the terraces, and the silken girls bringing sherbet. Then the camel men cursing and grumbling, and the night fires going out, and the lack of shelters, and the cities hostile, and the towns unfriendly, and the villages dirty, and the charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. In the end, we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches, with the voices singing in our ears, saying that this was all folly. Now, I realize that most of you probably aren't into poetry like I am. What are you laughing at? But it helps us to understand, like, what a difficult journey this was. It wasn't some leisurely, stately procession. It was difficult. It was a difficult time. And I bet that there were probably times on their journey where they really felt like they wanted to turn back. They wanted to go back to the comforts of home, of where they came from. When the poem says, the city's hostile and the town's unfriendly, that's historically accurate. Magi were respected in their own land, but they were not in Christ's land. You see, the Magi were considered pagans. They were considered outsiders. They were considered heathen and untrustworthy. Even if they did look noble in how they dressed, they'd be eyed with suspicion, and they would be considered foreigners and infidels. And as they got closer to the place that Jesus was born, it got worse and worse. And I bet along the way, they probably were thinking, this is all folly, and this is stupid. What were we thinking in this journey? And maybe that's where you're at in your journey as a Christ follower. Maybe you're wanting to turn back today. Maybe that's where you're at in your journey right now. And so through this series that led up to Christmas, we talked about finding hope, and we talked about finding light and joy and peace. Christmas Eve, Gail spoke from John chapter 1, and it was not the typical Christmas story that we're used to reading from Luke, but he spoke from John chapter 1, and I just want to read that to you this morning. You don't have to turn there. But in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so that's what we're supposed to find through our journey up to Christmas Eve, was the light. Light has come. But maybe this Christmas season wasn't any better for you. Maybe it wasn't any different than any other Christmas season. Maybe for some of you it was worse. And sure, it's not over. The Christmas season's not over. Maybe some of you still have some parties to go to, or New Year's Eve is coming. But maybe right now, in this very moment, you feel like the Magi did. And you're not really hopeful about that adventure that Christ is getting ready to take you on. You're not really sure if it's going to lead anyplace good. And so if that's where you're at, today's message is for you. But maybe you're in a place where you're on the mountaintop. Maybe you're in a place where that adventure that Christ has got you going on is going amazing. Good news, this message is for you today as well, because we all know through our walk with Christ that there are ebbs and flows. And so maybe one day you're not going to be on that mountaintop. Maybe you'll be in a spot where this message would be very helpful to you. So, if we're looking back at Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, they came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star, his light, when it rose, and have come to worship him." Today's message is about that adventure, and most importantly, the grace in that adventure that you have with Christ. And so we're talking about grace for the adventure today. So if we're going to talk about grace for the adventure today, we've got to understand what grace means. So grace doesn't just mean forgiveness. I explain to my kids all the time that, do you know what grace is? Grace is being forgiven of something that you don't deserve forgiveness for. And I think that that's how we use the word grace a lot of times. But it doesn't just mean forgiveness of sins. Grace is a Greek word. The Greek word charis. And charis literally means gift. So grace is a gift from God. Something that God, only God, can do for us and that we can't do for ourselves. So grace literally means charis, which means gift. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God." But forgiveness is not the only gift. It's not the only grace. It's not the only charis. See, on this adventure that we're taking with God, God's trying to lead us in our lives. And we're going to need grace for that adventure, because the things that we're going to need for that adventure, we can't do on our own. They have to come from God. We can't give those gifts ourselves. Kind of like, how many people have seen the Hunger Games movies? Okay, good. You know how in the Hunger Games movies, they're out there and they're doing the Hunger Games and like the parachute comes down with the gift? Kind of like that. So we can't provide it for ourselves. It has to be given to us from God. But I don't recall God using parachutes. Or at least if he has, I've never gotten a parachute. So maybe you have, I have not. The gift that God gave to the wise men or to the Magi was the star that led them to the country where Christ would be born. And that country's capital was Jerusalem. So this star led them to Jerusalem. So that was the gift that God gave these Magi on their journey. And the wise men didn't figure this out on their own. It had to come from God. How many times in your life did God give you a gift of guidance like he gave to the wise men? This gift of guidance. Probably uncountable times if you go back and think about it. I can't tell you how many times in my life where I needed a gift of guidance from God, and I begged and pleaded for this bright neon sign to come out and point me in the right direction. That usually doesn't happen, does it? But God does give us the gift of guidance on our adventure. And the primary word, the primary way that he does is through his word, is through the Bible. We read in Psalm 119, verse 105, that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's that word again, a light. So if you're struggling in your journey today and you find yourself struggling in the future, you got to ask yourself, am I looking for God's guidance in his word? If I want to be on this adventure with God in my life, I've got to be in his word. I need to be reading in my Bible. Okay, awesome. I've tried that. I've done that. It doesn't always work for me. I can't always get guidance out of God's word in my life. It doesn't always make sense to me. Somebody suggested to me one time, or every time, that before I open my Bible, I should take it in my hands, and I should pray, and I should say something to the effect of, God, speak to me through your word. I want to hear from you in this. So when I say we need to be reading our Bibles, I'm talking about in a personal way. Not like a textbook, not like a storybook, not like an encyclopedia, because for years and years and years, that's how I read the Word of God. And it didn't ever make any sense to me, and so it was a challenge to open it up. It still is. But if we look at it from reading his word in a personal way, and we pray about it beforehand, it's like we're hearing personally from God. And so, I get that sometimes that's difficult. And I get that sometimes we struggle in doing so. And that's okay. It happens. It happens to all of us. Don't give up. But I know that many times when I'm reading God's word, he's reminding me of many different things. Like he might be reminding me to trust in him, or he might be reminding me to watch what comes out of my mouth, or how I act or what I do, things that can detour me or derail me in my adventure following him. What I'm driving at here is the Bible's a gift from God. And if we remember, grace equals charis equals gift. So yeah, there's going to be many times where we read and it makes no sense to us and it doesn't shed any light on it to us whatsoever of what God wants us to do. And that's okay, that's normal. But there will be other times that it does. We also learn that from the Magi that God provides us grace through a gift of guidance from other people. If you notice from this passage in Matthew 2, the star didn't lead them straight to baby Jesus. It led them to Jerusalem. And so what did they do? They started asking around about where they would find Jesus. So if we look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, it says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem was with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. So the king's spiritual advisors are the ones that told the wise men to head to Bethlehem. So that's the next piece. So if you're struggling on your journey today, do you have people around you that can help you? Do you surround yourself with people that would give you guidance or direction on your journey? This adventure is meant to be a team sport. So are you doing that? I'm sure you've had it happen. How many times have you asked somebody that you trust, somebody that you respected, somebody who was a spiritual mentor to you, asked them for guidance or support, or just had a conversation with them to talk about what you were going through in your life, and they offered you a nugget of wisdom or information that you used, that God proved to use in your life? How many times in your life group, or with your friends, or with your spouse, did God give you a nugget of information from them that helped you along that journey. The people in my life or in my small group or my close friends and spiritual mentors, they're there because they're a gift. They're there because they're grace. They're a charis from God to me. So we get that gift, that grace of guidance from others. We also get a gift of specific guidance. The next part of the wise men in the journey in the Bible, Matthew 2:9, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Matthew 2:9. So we've probably heard that part before as we've studied about, you know, Christ's birth. But I noticed something different this time. The first time when the star came up, where did it take them? It took them to Jerusalem. But the second time that the star came up, where did it take them? It took them right specifically to where Christ was born. Right to where he was born. And so that star reappeared. It was more precise in guiding them to Christ's birthplace. So why didn't that just happen in the first place? Why didn't the star just take them straight to where Jesus was to begin with? I don't know. Bible doesn't say. But that's how sometimes God often guides us. He'll kind of point us in the right general direction, and then, once we get headed in that right general direction, then he gets specific through his word or through the spiritual guidance of others or through our prayer time to specifically where he wants us to be. And then he'll get his guidance so it's pinpointed exactly where he wants us. I remember a time, many times, where I didn't know what God wanted me to do next in my life or with this or with that. And I went and talked to a person who had been a mentor to me in my past. And God just kept bringing that person to mind over and over and over again until I just couldn't ignore it anymore. And, I kind of told him what I was going through and asked what he thought. And he said, well, I can't tell you for sure, but what I think you should do is this. And what came out of that person's mouth was huge. It was a gift. It was a gift to me from God. Because it helped me to figure out exactly what to do and what not to do next. I think that God's Spirit oftentimes prompts us to look in his word or to look to spiritual guidance from other believers or whatnot. Because that's when and where he wants to pinpoint it in our lives. Sometimes God just gives us general guidance, and other times his guidance could be very specific, I think. So the wise men, back to the wise men. The adventure leads them to Christ. And for the wise men, this all brought it together. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 2:11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we've learned that along this journey, they probably had many times where they wanted to turn back, but they didn't. They had probably had that song. Remember, we learned things from songs? They probably had that song from U2 in their head. What song is that? I still haven't found what I'm looking for. They probably had that playing on their iPads. That's it. That's the best joke I got today. So they kept on. They kept going. They didn't turn back. They kept on this adventure with God. And they kept on the adventure that God was taking them on. He gave them the gift of general guidance and the gift of guidance of people who knew the Bible. And they get this gift of specific guidance when the star comes right where right where Christ was born. These are all God's gifts. God's charis eventually guided them to what they were looking for. And they got there, and it was dramatic, and they bowed down, and they worshiped Jesus, and they gave him those famous gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I was talking to one of the kids down in E3 Kids a couple weeks ago about these gifts, and I says, hey, do you know what the gifts are that the wise men or the magi gave to Christ when they met him? They said, yeah, I know what those gifts are. It's gold, Frankenstein, and Nerf. Not sure what Abby's teaching him down there. But let's talk about these gifts. Gold is a gift for a king. Frankincense was the incense burned in the ceremonial worship of God. It was a gift that acknowledged Jesus' divinity. And myrrh, well, myrrh was a sweet-smelling perfume that was used in those days to prepare bodies for burial. Now, I don't know about how many of you guys that have had kids, but embalming stuff is usually not the normal baby shower gift. But maybe it foreshadowed something here. Literary experts say that it's referencing how the birth of Jesus means that the world in which the wise men were revered was starting to pass away. Because now the one true living God has come. And that was the wise men's or the magi's death. But I also think that perhaps the gift of myrrh meant that Jesus was born not just to live, but to die. And I mention that because on this adventure that God has us on or has you on, we can't ever forget that the Jesus that we're following is going to lead us to places that might be hard for us to have the courage to go. This adventure may lead to some difficult places. And where God leads you on his adventure with you, it may not actually lead to life or death situations, but there's going to be some danger in it for you. It might be financial danger, it might be personal risk, might whatever. Don't be surprised when that comes and you're on this adventure with him. Jesus put his life on the line for the sake of the world that God loved, and we're called to do the same thing in all sorts of ways. That's pretty sobering, that we're supposed to put our life on the line. But it's okay, because it's all about living a life that's beyond just having comfortable lives for ourselves and for our families. It's about bringing God's blessing to the world and to darkness. And not just sit idly by. We're called to change the world for God. And there's going to be pushback. There's going to be cost. There's going to be sacrifice. There's going to be danger. There's going to be hardship. But that adventure is going to go on. And it's going to go on. And it's going to go on. It's going to go on. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up right now. And I want to talk about that adventure continuing. The adventure continues, and it's always outward to bless. If we learned one thing from these magi or these wise men's story, is after they found Jesus, their adventure wasn't over. The Bible says in Matthew 2:12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. After being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they took their adventure a completely different route. King Herod wanted to kill Jesus and keep his own power intact, so the wise men had to return home by a different route. Now, the Bible doesn't say what the wise men did when they returned, but I can't help but wonder, did they, when they got back, did they truly believe in who Jesus was? Or did they think that he was just some general special baby? Did they tell anybody about Jesus? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But that's okay. Maybe on their journey back or when they got back home, they no longer felt like they were at home because they had met the one true living God. Maybe they didn't try to do anything. There's nothing in the Bible that suggests that the wise men came out of Bethlehem being changed like the shepherds did. It's said that the shepherds left there praising God and telling everybody about the birth of Jesus. It doesn't say that the magi or the wise men did that. And so I mention that because we all need to keep in mind one thing about the adventure that God has for each of us. It's not meant to end with what it does for us. say that again. It's not this adventure that God has with us and the life-changing things that he does in our hearts and in our lives. It's not meant to end right here. It's meant to bring us out of ourselves and into serving and blessing the world for God. It doesn't end with the change that happens here. It's about that change going out. Tommy Barnett is a pastor, and he wrote this book called Adventure Yourself. And in this book, he says this, and I want to read this quote from this book. It says, "Despite popular opinion, the Christian life is the greatest adventure of all. The greatest adventure imaginable is embracing God's dream for how your life is meant to change the lives of others. God's adventure always leads us outward, out of ourselves, and just serving ourselves. Out of just building our own kingdoms, it's an adventure in to building God's kingdom among people who are hurting and lonely and in need of blessing. This adventure that God has us on isn't about just this. It's about taking what God has done in our lives and the changes that he's made here and getting it out there. So how do we do that? It's all in the adventure. It's all in the journey. We share our stories. We invite people to come and see what Christ has done in our lives as we sang on Christmas Eve. We say, look, I know the journey's hard, but look at what he's done. Look at what he's done in me. Look at what he's done over here. Look at what he can do in you. It doesn't end here. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of the journey. When we look at the wise men's adventure, we're not exactly sure how it ended, and that's okay. The point isn't whether their adventure turned them into people who changed the world. The point is, will we? That's the real gift of the journey. Knowing that our lives count and that our lives are part of what God's going to do to change the world. It's not just a gift for the journey. The gift is the journey. I invite all of you guys to continue in that journey and receive those gifts as you go through that journey. Yeah, we know it's not going to be the easiest thing. Nobody said that following Christ was going to be the easiest thing you ever did. Nobody said it wasn't going to be dangerous. Nobody said it wasn't going to be life-changing. Nobody said it wasn't going to be this or that. But God provides us with gifts the whole way on our journey to point us the right way. Father God, as we continue in our journey with you, we know the light has come. We celebrated that just a few days ago. We know that you are the light, but we know that it doesn't end there, Father God. We know that it continues on, and we're excited about that. We look forward to that journey. We look forward to what you have in store for us. And so we invite you in on that journey with us. And we know that you'll be with us. And we just ask that you are. Father God, we pray that the worship that we're about to engage in is pleasing to you. That you hear our hearts and our voices as we sing out and we sing loud. And we praise you. We pray that your Spirit is here with us. And that you receive all the glory that you so deserve, Lord.